That's actually a really good question. How much time do we have?
Science by anybody and for everybody.
How we build that internet is by getting our hands dirty. And so that's exactly
what science is supposed to be from the very beginning, you know.
Hello, I'm Julie Gould, and welcome to the Citizens of Science podcast, an audio exploration and celebration of all things citizen science and open science.
Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of this mini-series where we're trying to figure out what science really means. In this episode, I'm speaking to Yvonne Gallagher. She's a lawyer, but she's also a citizen scientist, and she's been involved in the flying ant survey for a couple of years. But more than that, she's actually been taking data on these ants from not only 2008 with the dawn of the BlackBerry, she's been looking at these flying ants since she was a little girl. And it's only a few years ago that she realised that citizen science could bring this fascination to a much deeper level. So I started off by asking her what sort of data she was really collecting for the survey.
I took part in the survey by keeping records of times that I or my family saw flying ants over the couple of years. Although, in fact, I had been doing that independently previously and was delighted to see the survey come up to tackle exactly that subject.
So apart from the fact that you've been keeping a record of all these things anyway, what was it that made you think, yes, I'd like to get involved in this citizen science project?
It was really interesting, first of all, to find that something I was particularly interested in and keeping an eye on, actually, lots of other people were doing it. It was quite nice to feel part of a wider group and not just a slightly oddball on my own account, keeping an eye on what the ants were up to. That was a nice thing to find and see that somebody else was keeping an eye on it, and actually quite a lot of people, as it turned out.
What made you start taking data in the first place, going back all those years?
Well, I could remember as a child seeing odd days that in the morning you would be practically stepping on ants on the pavement, and by the afternoon there would be these huge ants with wings on them. And then I suppose as an adult starting to think, you know, just vaguely, I wonder, does this happen on the same day every year? It always seemed to be a thing that started at the start of the school summer holiday. So I had in my head it's around the 18th or 20th of July, somewhere around there, because I always remember it being early in the school holidays. So then, having had that thought in the head for a while, finally one year, probably this is the advent of BlackBerries, so a bit of technology coming into it, that having thought that thought out in the park one day, I could capture it immediately, and I put a note in my calendar, I think in 2008, that it was Fly Again Day that day, and I put it in as a recurring appointment on an annual basis so that I could check it, and then forgot all about it, and then up it came next year, and I think it was only a day or two different from where it had been. So that acted as a nice reminder just to keep an eye out for it every year, rather than without the technology. I'd have probably got to September and thought, oh gosh, I didn't keep my eyes out for that.
So have you found since 2008 that you've only been a day or two off?
Yes, this year was the exception. It was August before we saw them, but it's usually 18, 20, 21 July.
Did you come up with a reason for why you think that might be?
Well, I thought it might be that the spring was so late this year that we were still freezing until the end of April. And we all thought the spring was late, the gardens were late getting going. And I had been curious as to whether that would have an effect. And it did seem to. And at the presentation, the suggestion, the data hadn't been very fully analysed at that point, but the peaks did seem to be a few weeks later than in other years. So whether that was the late spring or whether there's some other explanation, I don't know. But that was the obvious thought in my mind, that just everything got going later in 2013.
Had you done any citizen science or science before then?
No citizen science, or nothing that I'd recognise as that. I'd done science at school and dropped it at the first possible opportunity, like very many of us.
Why did you decide to drop it?
Because it felt hard and because it felt like it had lots of maths in it. And I wasn't very good at it.
Before you started your citizen science project, what was your definition of science? What did you think it really meant?
I suppose I thought of it in school terms, in terms of rather boring equations and complex theories and rather dull sessions in school science labs.
And did that change when you were going through the project, the Flying Ants project?
Well, to see science in terms of actually really our own curiosity about the world and it really being about that interest in knowing how things work and what's happening, it was a nice framework to have and think, actually, I don't need to be hung up on the idea that science was something I couldn't do at school. We're thinking about it all the time when we look at the weather or nature or animals or machines and technology and wonder how it all works and how it all comes together.
Were you surprised at what you discovered science to be when you were going through the Citizen Science Project?
I think surprised is probably a bit strong, but when you stop and think about it, of course science is a far broader thing than the way we are structured into it through school or college or whatever. And I think even the whole word of science is around knowledge and so on. So it was really kind of more of a reminder of actually that curiosity about the world and interest is being scientific about things.
Will you be doing any more citizen science projects now that this is something that you've found out?
Definitely. We will certainly do flying ants again, and I gather that is going to run. This year, our observations were much less clear-cut than other years, which seemed a shame. So it would be nice to see, with the weather different next year, perhaps, will it be a bit more definitive? Certainly, I'll be keeping my eye out for other projects that I have something to add to.
So was it quite a nice feeling to know that the data you had collected were then being added to this massive pool of data that lots of people around the world were collecting as well?
When we see bits of it reported, it feels like there's a real connection. It's a story that we're part of, rather than just something out of the news.
Considering that when you were young and at school you didn't enjoy science, you thought it was too much maths, and now you're involved in citizen science and you find it much more interesting and you've had this sort of overhaul of your definition of science, do you think people would benefit from getting involved in citizen science projects and seeing that science isn't just what you learn at school, it's a whole host of other things as well?
I absolutely think there's benefits in it. And when you look at press reports of scientific developments, we tend to see scientists presented as some whole other group of terribly clever people that maybe don't have any connection with the rest of us. And the reminder that actually we are all capable of being that at some level and of taking an interest in what goes on around us, I think is a good thing.
So for Yvonne, it really was a case of initially believing that science was just the stuff that you learn at school and it was just theories and just equations and just maths. But it actually turned out that for her it was so much more. It was really a way of looking at the bigger picture, looking at the wider world and realising that science is actually what we do all the time. So if anyone else out there had this realisation or a completely different one, we'd love to hear your ideas and your thoughts of what you think science is. You can get in touch with the show by leaving a comment below or by contacting us on Twitter using the hashtag CitizensOfScience. We would really love to hear from you. The Citizens of Science podcast is supported by the Citizen Cyber Lab and is produced by Julie Gould, with theme music by PitX.